The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text from Acts chapter 6. In those days, as the number of disciples was increasing, a complaint arose from the Greek-speaking Jews against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called together the whole group of disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, carefully select from among you 7 men with good reputations who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will put them in charge of this service. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the entire group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Also, a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Some men who were from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they were unable to stand up against the wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then they secretly induced some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They stirred up the people, the elders, and the experts in the law. They came, dragged Stephen away, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who said, "This man never stops making threats against this holy place and the law. In fact, we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs Moses handed down to us." All those who were sitting in the Sanhedrin were looking intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words that we consider from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, I'll just read that first verse again. In those days, as the number of disciples was increasing, a complaint arose from the Greek-speaking Jews against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, you can't stop this. You know that attitude. It's a good attitude that maybe an athlete on the court who's on the top of his game has that swagger, that attitude that it doesn't matter what the opponent throws against me, my skills are good enough that I'm going to overcome. I'm going to win, and you can't stop this. It's that confidence, right? That confidence, that assurance. It's powerful. It's strong. That's the kind of attitude that we should have as we approach the Word of God. That confidence, that strength and power that we have, that nothing can stop us. Yeah, Jesus, our head, our Savior, has ascended into heaven, but he has not left us alone. He comes to us with his word. He comes to us with his spirit, which we'll hear more about in the coming weeks. And great blessings and great strength come to us so that we can say, you can't stop this word of God. You can't stop this word of God which silences our complaints, which solves our disputes, and which makes us shine. Great things were happening in the church, in our text, all through that word of God that is unstoppable. Great things. Twice it mentions that the number of disciples were increasing. In fact, it says it was increasing greatly because of this word of God. Some estimates suggest that there were 20,000 to 25,000 Christians in Jerusalem by this time now? Certainly there were more than 3,000 which were added on Pentecost, but now that number continues to grow, and greatly it continues to grow. Great things. You can't stop this word of God. Unfortunately, there's something else that you can't stop. The more number of people, Christians, that you add to the church, of course, the more number of sinners you're going to be adding to that church here on earth as well. As we recognize that all of us are sinner saints, as you can imagine the scene, the number of Christians are multiplying, and so the diversity of those Christians as well. With more believers, there's more diverse opinions, more diverse people. Just as in every Christian congregation, you're dealing with sinner saints. Yeah, we're saints who've been made perfect in the sight of God for Jesus' sake, but we're sinners too. And you see the effect of that. You see the effect of that in this first verse, this word that talks about this complaining. In those days, as the number of disciples was increasing, a complaint arose from the Greek-speaking Jews against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. We don't know the nature of the complaint or the reason for it. It may not necessarily have been anything intentional by one group over another. It might have just been an oversight by the great number of people that were being added. Those Greek-speaking Jews were the ones who had come back, who didn't necessarily speak the same language, as opposed to those Jews who had been in Jerusalem for most of the time and knew that Hebrew language well. Different groups, and maybe just not knowing the need of each group. Or perhaps there was something a little bit less sanctified about it. Whatever the cause, the complaint was justified. Nevertheless, this complaint has a meaning behind it of a whispering or a behind-the-scenes talking. It could be something positive, but in this case clearly not. The complaint, same word that Paul uses about coupled with arguing in Philippians 2 when he urges believers, do everything without complaining and arguing. And Peter prohibits it too, this type of behavior, as he encourages us all to be hospitable. He says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. But that's exactly what was happening here in this congregation of Christians. Complaining was happening. You can understand that scene. We still have that old Adam that clings to us this side of heaven too. And so that even though we are saints, we recognize that we're sinner saints too. And you see in the body of Christ, that wonderful body that we've been joined together in Christ, who is our head, who has ascended into heaven, still you see sinful behavior causing harm to that body of believers. True today just as much as it was in the earliest days of the Christian church after Christ. What horrible things can happen to the body of Christ as bad behavior produces the whispers of bad reports and bad reputations. What a damaging effect that can have on the gospel. Playing favorites among the members of a congregation, ignoring, looking down on others, even maybe neglecting others. And then that word spreads. That complaint is heard. And that reputation, not just of the church, but of Christ himself, is damaged as his body suffers a lack of Christian love and charity toward certain people with certain backgrounds or certain classes. And the body of Christ suffers from the sins of others. Do these things manifest themselves today? Lack of Christian love and charity? Whispers about a report that ruin the reputation of Christ. These things can damage Christ and his body. You hope to grow out of these superficial judgments as you grow and mature. But sometimes bad habits are hard to shake, and the sinful nature in each of us rears its ugly head, and the body of Christ suffers. So these complaints needed to be silenced, and the disputes needed to be resolved. And how would they be resolved? Just as you can't stop the sinful nature among the sinner saints of God's people, even more so you can't stop that word of God. And that's what the apostles recognized and understood. It's only that word of God that can possibly resolve these matters. It's only that word of God that can silence those complaints. And that's what they determined to do. They said, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, carefully select from among you 7 men with good reputations who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will put them in charge of this service, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. One translation says it, to the preaching ministry. What a focus. What an important thing for the apostles to recognize. We can't stop this word of God. Even in the midst of troubles and in the midst of a growing congregation where there's so much to do that we can't even begin to handle it all, what must not be neglected? The preaching ministry, the word of God. Of all the things, that proclamation of the word of God must continue. And in fact, it's that very word of God which is going to solve this trouble too and silence these complaints. And so it did. In fact, it was that word of God that silenced the complaint and resolved the dispute. The Holy Spirit and wisdom come along with that word of God, and they picked out individuals identified full of this wisdom and the Spirit of God, guided by that word of God. Carefully chosen to resolve this matter in the congregation so that those apostles could spend their time continuing to share that message of the gospel. Yes, that word of God, that very word of God that forgives all of our sins, all of our unfairness or lack of love and care, that word of God which directs us instead to the love and the care that He had for us perfectly. When that word of God is being spread, when that forgiveness that Christ has won for us and the whispers of that word of God and the talks behind the scenes, when that news of the grace of God covering over a multitude of sins, when that's the message that's being spread, you can't stop that word of God which silences all our complaints. And look at the fruits. Look at what continued to happen. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Also, a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow, God is good, isn't He? Jewish priests left their way of the Old Testament sacrificial self-righteousness that they believed, and they joined the Christian church in believing that Jesus Christ was that one sacrifice for all people of all time to take away all of the sins of all the world. And God's word was spreading, and the church was increasing greatly, and the Savior God was glorified. You can't stop that word of God. We see that blessing today too. People come to Christ here at St. Paul's. They see their sins, but then they see those sins forgiven in Christ, and they join with us together in a confession of faith, regardless of a background, regardless of a history or a past, to know that Christ has wiped all of our sins away, and that word of God continues to spread. And the number of disciples increases greatly. You can't stop this word of God, which silences our complaints. Well, the source of suffering wasn't only coming from within, though, the sins of fellow believers. The devil and the world also oppose and assault that flock of God, and we see that too in what follows next. One of the 7 men, Stephen, our attention focuses on him now. Stephen went to share the word with them too in his life and in his witness. Not only was he there to wait on tables, but of course full of the Holy Spirit and power, God had given him some incredible gifts, blessed him very greatly. Sadly, some people were jealous of that and wanted to pick a fight with Stephen. We read on, "Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Some men who were from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen rose up and disputed with Stephen." The synagogue of freedmen. We don't have much in Scripture to go on about this group, but clearly they didn't find their freedom in Christ, who has set us free. But Stephen wasn't afraid, even in the face of opposition, and even at the threat of death, wasn't afraid to point them to their Savior, full of that wisdom and the Spirit. So he spoke, and he shared, and he witnessed his faith. We're told they were unable to stand up against the wisdom and the Spirit by whom Stephen was speaking. They disputed. Again, not necessarily a negative term either to discuss, to have a debate about something. The content, no doubt, was on spiritual matters, but Stephen, full of the Spirit, full of that Word of God, couldn't be stopped, couldn't be denied. And then as they see that they, as many of them as they were, no matter where they came from, they couldn't deny the Spirit and the truth that he was preaching. They couldn't even stand up to him. And why not? Because you can't stop this Word of God. He spoke with that wisdom. He spoke with the Word of God that the Holy Spirit had provided him with. He spoke the Word of God, and he remained on that side of that Word of God which Jesus prayed. That Word is the truth, and nothing could overcome him. And they all fell, and he alone stood tall among them. It could be easy for us to lose confidence in that Word of God, especially when we face opposition precisely because of our belief in it. It could be easy to turn away from it, to discard it, to maybe change it a little bit to meet the complaints or the criticisms or the disputes and discussions of others. Don't be discouraged by that Word of God. Stand on it. Stand squarely on it. You too have been filled and blessed by that Spirit. You too have received that wonderful truth. You too have that grace of Christ. So don't be discouraged by that Word of God. When people attack you, what will they see? What will they be able to say? When you stand tall on that Word of God, you solve all of those disputes. You rejoice because you know the truth. Now, that got violent for Stephen. Some simply will not tolerate that Word of God, that truth, no matter what. Then they secretly induced some men to say certain things. "We heard this man speak against God and against Moses. He wants to destroy the temple and ruin this law that we have from Moses." What do you notice about the opposition of Stephen? They were violent. They don't deal gently or considerately with those whom they oppose. They dragged Stephen into the Sanhedrin. Now there's an honest group, right? Not at all. Not only are they violent, but they were dishonest. They brought in deceptive witnesses to tell false stories and accounts about Stephen. Does that sound familiar? Just like the same group did to their Savior, they stirred up people to present these false witnesses wicked. The truth was not on their side. In fact, everything was lies and deception coming from a wicked heart. What could be done? What could possibly be done to stand up to that? The Word of God. That is the truth. Nothing else can stand at it. All else cannot stop that Word of truth. That Word of truth cannot be denied. It cannot be undone. And look what the Word of God, that truth, did for Stephen. All those who were sitting in the Sanhedrin were looking intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. It wasn't just that they looked at Stephen and realized that they were full of lies and he was full of truth. This was something miraculous. This too was something supernatural. filled with the Holy Spirit, his face shone like the face of an angel, so that they were stunned. They were in awe, even put to shame as they brought those accusations against Stephen, who stood there like an angel. He shined with the righteousness that is Christ's. That's what the Word of God did for Stephen. To be made perfect and holy, yeah, Stephen was a sinner too, just as all of us are, and yet he was righteous because he had that Word of God which makes us shine. And in the righteousness that is Christ's, that holiness shined forth in a miraculous way in that moment. Friends, you have that same wisdom of God. Your life has been filled with the knowledge of God's Word for you. As the Apostle Paul tells us, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You have that wisdom. You have that Spirit. Perhaps you don't shine like an angel in a miraculous way in your face, but your life does. Your life does. God looks at you and sees, he sees Jesus. And he sees Jesus' holiness in your life. And then as you live that life and show that life, you shine with the righteousness of Christ in the way that you act and in the words and the truth that you speak. On this Mother's Day, don't stop that Word of God for your children. Your children know it. And because of it, they shine. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Their sins have been washed away. They have the wisdom of God in them. They know that truth, and they live that truth. Continue to help them grow up in that truth. And let them shine with the righteousness of Christ, that they are like the angels, holy before God in heaven. Don't stop that Word of God. I know what you're thinking. You know them just as much as you know yourself. They're not angels, and neither are we. You know their sins, and they know them too. But that Word of God really does make us shine. Don't stop that Word of God. That Word of God which has purified them. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Come and take the forgiveness of sins which is won for you. You who have been born to that font and who has received this holiness from Christ, clothed with that righteousness of Christ which shines more brilliant than anything else in the world could ever shine. That's yours. You can't stop this Word of God. Jesus has ascended, but his church continues to grow and flourish here on earth. And why is that? It's because of that Word of God. That Word of God which cannot be stopped. It was the focus of those apostles as they preached that word. Even when they encountered complaints, even when they had to settle disputes, that Word of God took care of those complaints. And that Word of God solved those disputes. Let that Word of God shine in you, as you shine with the righteousness that is yours alone through Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.